get started? Ready? Okay. All right, I think we're gonna go ahead and get started. Welcome. Everybody having a good day so far? Yeah? Yes? Good? Yes, hopefully. So I'm Sonia, and I am one of the writers here at Microsoft. And today we're here to talk about tools that will help you lower support costs and increase user adoption. And last week I had the opportunity to hear about a Yammer rollout at Nationwide Insurance. And as I was hearing about it, I was hearing a lot of things that were really familiar to me. They sounded a lot like things that I had heard about project rollouts. So they were in the middle of transitioning between a couple of different tools. It was really hard for them to get work done. And they were having trouble knowing who to talk to about what. So what was really interesting about it was that instead of your typical rollout where you deploy it and you do a little training and then you ask people to start using it, they opted to brand the whole thing. So they called their rollout Spot, and it was really cool. They made a huge deal about it. They gave away t-shirts, they had cupcakes, they had these big beach balls that they all had this Spot branding on it. They had events like Nerf Gun Wars, and they had like this rolling photo booth thing. And what happened because of that is that it generated a ton of excitement about this tool for their employees. And it made the users actually want to adopt their tool as opposed to kind of dragging their feet and being forced into an unfamiliar technology. So for me, as a writer at Microsoft, I'm really focused on the details of a rollout, and it was really neat to be able to see kind of this bigger picture about what gets people excited about rolling out a new tool, what makes them actually want to start using it. So today we're going to talk about five different tools, and as you're hearing about these things, I would encourage you to kind of think about how might you use these things to generate excitement in your users, to make them feel comfortable with project, and make them really be excited about how this tool can help them get their work done. Excuse me. So as I said before, I'm Sonia. I'm with Microsoft Project Content Publishing, and I'm also up here with Efren and Mike, and they are also writers. We'll get to them in a little bit, and they'll talk to you about some other tools. We deliver content for Project Server, Project Client, Project Online, and some pieces of SharePoint. So how can we help? One of the things that we focus on in content publishing is being honest and real about things. And we know that deploying and supporting project can be pretty challenging. So what our team is focused on is providing content tools that just make the whole process easier from end to end. So the tools that we're going to talk today about are TechNet and Office.com, the Office 365 Learning Center, the Quick Start Guides, the Administrator's Guide, and the Team Member Guide. And we hope that as we talk about these things, if you have questions or if you have feedback on the tools, we would love to hear it. Please don't just sit here and let us talk at you. Please give us your feedback along the way. So first up, we've got Mike to talk about TechNet.
So I'm Mike Plumley, and I work primarily on the IT pro side. So that's publishing to TechNet for deployment and upgrade content and that sort of thing. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about TechNet. Most of you have probably seen it to some extent. We have a portal that you can use to get started. We found that a lot of people get to our content using search, using Bing or Google. But we do have several entry points that you can use to get to the most used content. And we recommend this for, it's mostly the administrator audience. So for end users, you would go to office.com, which we'll talk about shortly. And developers would go to MSDN. But TechNet is primarily for the administrator or IT people who do a lot of configuration. So we have a portal, and we have links to the different versions of the product. And we also have versions across the top. And you can use this as a jumping off point to get into the library, basically, which is where most of our content is published. And with the library here. So like I said, a lot of people use search, and you can use a search engine and that will probably get you what you want, but there are advantages to using the search box that's actually on TechNet, and that's primarily that you can scope your search down a little bit. So if you want to scope it by the library or by forums or by a particular version of the product, you can do that, and it will help to narrow down the result set that you get when you're looking for something, whereas if you use Bing, you'll get everything there is, and you may want that or you may not. So if you're having trouble scoping things down or finding what you're looking for, try the search box that's on TechNet. We have jumping off pages for several versions, going back to 2010. We have 2010, 2013, and Project Online. And these basically each give you links to the most commonly used topics that are within the various life cycle delineations that we use. So we've got explore, plan, deploy, and operate. And when you click on a link here, it will take you to the TechNet library. And here's where basically all of the administrative content and the deployment content that we publish is kept. And you can see we have a table of contents that's divided into that same list, explore, plan, install, operate, use. And if you look at this same structure in the SharePoint table of contents, it's really pretty overwhelming because SharePoint is so huge and there's a tremendous amount of content there. Project is much more focused, and we've done our best to organize this in a fairly easy to understand manner. So usually you can find what you're looking for pretty easily by just sort of clicking on these nodes and working your way down and finding what you're looking for. So if you're looking for installation or deployment or upgrade or whatever, you can click on install and configure and work your way in there, pretty easily find what you're looking for. So you may want to bookmark this top level page. We have a variety of different kinds of content that we publish. A lot of it is articles of text. We do a fair number of videos. We try to do end-to-end walkthroughs of fairly complex scenarios like deployment and upgrade, that sort of thing, so that you have a chance to, instead of just reading a lot of text about it, you can sort of sit there and watch the whole thing happen before you actually have to put a CD in the drive and do it yourself. We have a nice upgrade poster that covers upgrading from 2010 to 2013, and this will sort of walk you through the various steps that you need to do. And it's a good resource for if you're planning an upgrade to just sort of get a high-level overview of what the process is going to be like and what you're going to have to work through. We do, at the bottom of every article on TechNet, have a feedback link. And when you look at the topic, all you'll see is the "Did you find this helpful? Yes or no?" box. But when you select yes or no, it will open the comment box, and you can type in any comment that you have. If there's something you didn't find, something you'd like to see, we actually do get this. It doesn't disappear into a black hole somewhere. We actually get reports, and we see whatever you write here. So if you can't find something, if something's missing, if something is technically inaccurate, we want to hear from you. Go ahead and click a radio button and type in the feedback, and we will get it. And we do use this a lot for making updates to the site and also deciding, what new articles we need to write, what areas we need to cover, where we need more in-depth coverage, that sort of thing. There are the TechNet forums, and these are monitored by mostly by MVPs, but also by a lot of internal people at Microsoft. And there's no guarantee that you'll find exactly what you're looking for here, but there are a lot of very knowledgeable people who watch this very closely. So if you have a question, you couldn't find the answer to it on TechNet or anywhere else, by all means, post a question in the forums. And you should get a response fairly quickly on a lot of things. And Efren's going to tell you a little bit about the From the Trenches column.
Hey, I'm Efren Edwards, and I've been writing for Microsoft TechNet for the last 9 years. I think I joined shortly after Mike, I think the end of the 2003 release.
Yeah.
Around there. So I'm going to talk to you about the From the Trenches column. That's located on the right side of the Project Server 2013 and 2010 homepages. And what the From the Trenches column is, it's a collection of white papers created by Microsoft MVPs and project community experts. What's really neat about these white papers is that these writers, they don't have to adhere to the more stricter style of writing that Sonia, Mike, and myself have to do for the TechNet articles. They're very creative, they're very conversational, and they talk about things such as pain points, things that need to be emphasized, other important things when deploying EPM. And these are written by people that actually deploy EPM in the real world. So you're hearing it from the horse's mouth. And in terms of these, the style of writing on these, I think someone said that an article by Chris Vandersloos, it felt like I was in a bar and he was sitting across from me and he was talking to me about Project Server in a very conversational mode. And he gets a lot of great feedback. This white paper here was written by Bill Raymond, another very popular project MVP. We try to update the column at least every quarter, on a quarterly basis. And we're always looking for people that want to write white papers. So if you have an interest in submitting a white paper for this column, just contact Mike, Sonia, and myself. There's going to be some contact information, and along with some other things that we'll give you a little later. So contact me. One nice thing is if you want to become more better known in the community, this is a good way to get your name out there. We also allow you to write a small bio about yourself, and you can link back to your homepage. So it's good for you, it's good for us, good for our customers.
All right, so office.com is another of our sites. And on this site, it's really geared toward information workers, so it's the end users. Your team members, your project managers, portfolio managers, those kinds of folks. It covers Project Server, Project Online, and the Project Desktop client, as well as SharePoint is also here. So where do you start? You go to office.com. Where do you get started? Start with a search. So there's a search box at the top of the page, and you can enter whatever you'd like to look up. So in this example that we're going to walk through, I'm going to look up creating a task. So I would enter in that box, and then the right results might be in this list. It's possible, but that's not always the case. So a lot of times, especially with like tasks and projects, those are pretty generic terms. So when you do a search on office.com, so let's example here, create a new task. Well, there's tasks in Outlook, there's tasks in kind of this generic sense. So it's kind of tough to figure out when you look at that list, am I looking at the right content? So one thing to notice is that, if it shows up, there it goes. So right below the description here, you'll see a list of which products that particular article applies to, and it's a great way to kind of parse the list and figure out whether you're looking at the right thing. The other thing that you can do, if it doesn't show up there, is on the top right, there's a little more button, and you can click that. And then it brings up a longer list, but that, again, is still not a filtered list. So on the left now, you can see a list of products, and if you click more at the bottom, you'll see it expands, and it does include our product set. So there's Project, which is the desktop client, and then Project Online and Project Server. So if you choose a product there, it expands the list even further to show versions. And then once you click a version, it's narrowed very far down to the product and version level. So you can know that you're looking at the right content. However, not everybody wants to do a search. A lot of times what we're hearing is people would rather browse to content. They don't necessarily know what they're looking for, or they just want to learn about the product in general. And we have a few solutions around that too. For the desktop client, we've got the project management roadmap, and this is a structured set of articles that have some context around the links within that. So the links go out to procedural content, but this kind of takes it up a level. So, and all of the different articles in this set are focused on the project management lifecycle. So there's a list of topics around planning, managing, and then even some troubleshooting. Like if you look on the right there, one of the goals in this content says bring in the project end date, which is a pretty common thing. People want to do that. We have content around that, and this is the place to look for that for the desktop client. For project server and project online, we have these kind of tables of contents topics where it lists everything that's published to office.com for each of those products. And one thing that's kind of cool about these is that once you get down to the next level where you're looking at an article with procedural content in it, we've got a bar at the top that links back to those. So if you are looking at an article and you want to see, well, what else is there, you have a way to get back to that table of contents. Sending feedback. So just like Mike was talking about with the TechNet content, at the bottom of any office.com article, you have a question, did this article help you? And you can answer that appropriately. Again, we would love to hear from you. We look at that content, those comments regularly, and they do help drive our decisions around what we write and what we change and that sort of thing. So once you click an answer, you'll have a comment box to fill in, and then you can click submit, and that does come straight to us. So overall, this tool, how do these sites help you with user adoption and lowering support costs? Well, we would really like to encourage you to share these sites with your users. So it gives them an opportunity to go look for answers themselves. My father-in-law he works at a kind of a medium-sized construction company, and he has two roles. He's an accountant, and he is the IT support guy. And in his rollout, he really loves it when people come to him with troubleshooting questions, because that's important to his job. But when people come to him with questions about how to do something in the tool, you know, that takes away from his time on the accounting side of his job. So if people are able to share these sites with their users, it gives them a chance to look up more of those how-to questions and reserve some of your admin's time to focusing on the real, you know, technical side of that job. Up to date. So the content on all of these sites is updated very regularly. It's you know, the most current information that we've got. So, you know, I hear from a lot of customers what they do is they'll take content from our sites and they'll include it in their training materials or in internal resources that they've copied locally. And that's fine. Go ahead. That's not a big deal there. But what happens is that content gets out of date, and then you're going to spend time updating it into your in your internal sites and those sorts of things. So if you instead point people up to the websites, it takes away that update time that you might have locally. And that's actually, it's really important with Project Online, because we're rolling things out there very regularly, monthly. And so getting the most current content there is pretty critical. Getting answers. So Mike talked again about the TechNet forums earlier. That's a great tool for you to use to get some, for your users to use to get answers. Those are being responded to by product team members very regularly, and the MVPs get credit on there for answering, so they're really encouraged to help you. So that's the sites. Next tool is the Office 365 Learning Center, and this tool is new. We just released this maybe a month ago, maybe not even that much. And this is a great tool to use. It's on office.com. If you are new to Office 365, this is a great place to get started. So it lets you ramp up quickly, see the most up-to-date materials, lets you start where you want. You know, maybe you're not interested in everything, but you might be interested in certain topics, and it lets you kind of do some picking around what you'd like to look at. The way it works is you get to the site, you can click a tile to view information. So for example, to get an intro to Office 365, you can click there. And then on the getting started page, we've got a little 1-minute video around how to get started with Office 365. It's got a little intro at the top, and then a list of links and more content at the bottom. But that's a link. Okay, so there's lots of different topics there. If you click more, there's a topic on projects. So you can click that, and it has four different sections. So we've got a section on managing projects in SharePoint Online, a section on getting started with Project Online, a section on creating a project in Project Online, and then one on tracking work in Project Online. And in each of those sections, there's an intro video that's, again, about a minute long, just to give you a high-level overview of what you can do. There's also a link to a quick start guide at the bottom, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. And then on the right, there's a list of links to the really the top most common things that people are trying to do within that area. And then again at the bottom, there's an opportunity to send feedback. Same spiel, please send it. we definitely are listening. You also have an opportunity on at the All Up Office 365 Learning Center to see some free training and provide feedback to the full Learning Center, not just a specific card. So how does it help? It's self-paced. It helps people pick what they want, when they want, start, and you know, spend as much time as they want doing that. It's customizable. You can download some of these guides and tailor them to suit your business needs. As I've said before, it's up to date. And it includes multimedia. This is a great place for videos and these quick start guides. All right, so the quick start guides, I'm happy to tell you, you can grab copies when we're done with the presentation today. So they are currently available as downloadable PDFs. We are working on getting them as also downloadable PowerPoint files. And there are currently 5 of them. For Project Online, we've got Getting Started, Create Projects, and Track Work. And then for Project Server on Premises, we've got Create Projects and Track Work. And I wanted to show you an example of these. So this is the Create Projects Quick Start Guide. And you'll see it's got a screenshot here with a bunch of call-outs to kind of get you oriented to the UI. You know, it helps whoever's using this, your user, to figure out where they need to click to get around, what they need to look for, where to find information about themselves, for example. And then on the subsequent pages, we've got procedural content as well as a little bit of reference material. So, for example, sometimes people aren't sure, do they need to create an enterprise project or a SharePoint task list project? This has got, in the top left, you know, some guidance around that, and then procedures for doing the most common things in that area. So how do these help with user adoption and reducing support costs? They're a great desk reference. So, you know, it's a lot easier if you have questions as you're using this tool to just look at something that's printed out right next to you than it is to go and dig through a bunch of sites or ask somebody. Or if it's just right there, it's really easy to access. And then customizable. So what, right now, of course, they're only available as PDF, but very, very, very soon, they will be up there as PowerPoint files, and you'll be able to download those. And you can add your own branding to that. So if you have a logo, if you have certain colors that you're using, or maybe URLs that you want to point out, or names of administrators to contact, maybe you have some custom fields, or really any way that it would make it more convenient for your users, that's the goal. Download it, adjust it to meet your needs, and then hand it out in a way that looks familiar to your users. Oh, all right. Efren.
Okay, the next tool that I'm going to talk to you about is the Project Server 2013 Administrator's Guide. So Mike, Sonny, and myself, along with a lot of the Microsoft internal groups, put this together. It's 350 pages. You can download it from the TechNet home site. We created this targeting the project administrator audience. And as a thank you to all of you for attending our session, we have nicely bound copies that we begged our bosses to find budget to print for you. So when the session's over, you can come up and pick one up. I'm going to give you a brief rundown on the history of this guide, how it came into existence. Some of you might remember the guides that we had for the Project Server 2013 release. They were pretty well received. We had role-based guides, such as administrator, project manager guides, executive guides. We had configuration guides, disaster recovery. And they were, people liked them a lot. And they were loaded with graphics. They were procedure-based. It was mostly everything that you'd see on the server settings page, something that a project admin would typically use. For the Project Server 2007 release, we moved more towards online articles, and we didn't have the downloadable guides anymore. But guess what we started hearing from customers? Where are the guides? We really liked them. So for the Project Server 2010 release, we created a downloadable administrator's guide. And for the 2013 release, we have this latest one here. So what I really like about this administrator's guide is that it came into being mostly from listening to customers, listening to you. And I mentioned at the end of the 2007 release, we started hearing customer feedback. Some of the feedback that we heard had to do with UI. They were saying that on your online articles, you don't have enough screenshots of the UI. We really like those. We miss them. Another thing we heard is that I want to see this in Microsoft Word format. It seemed like PDF wouldn't do it, and the reason why was because many customers found it easier to use Microsoft Word in order to copy and paste the content into their own internal training materials. It was a lot harder to do from the online articles. And if they wanted to customize the content, like Sonia mentioned earlier, they could easily change some of the procedures, include company information in these. And one of the other things we heard is some people just wanted an old-fashioned manual that they could take with them, they could read on the bus, or more importantly, they could take into a server room that doesn't have internet access. So our goal for creating the 2013 administrator's guide, well, and the 2010 guide, was we wanted to make sure that it was visual, that it had a lot of screenshots, and that the screenshots were embedded directly into procedures. More is better in this circumstance. We wanted to make sure it was downloadable, that people could easily download it and print it from TechNet, and that it needed to be in Microsoft Word format so that customers could easily copy and customize it for their own internal training needs. We also asked, in terms of role guides, what was more important for them to see. And the administrator's guide was the most important to them. Team member's guide was a close second, and followed by the project manager's guide. Okay, what's inside the administrator's guide? So the 2013 administrator's guide is broken into two sections. One half of the book has PWA server settings, and the other half has SharePoint Central Admin project web app settings. So the layout of the book is similar to what an administrator would see when accessing both of these pages. And the difference between both of these is that the PWA server settings and the central admin PWA settings were split in the 2013 release. Things that a project server admin would typically use were in the PWA server settings, and things that more of a farm admin that was kind of familiar with project, they were in the SharePoint Central Admin PWA settings. These are two examples of how we embedded screenshots in a lot of the procedures. And again, our motto on this was more is better. We couldn't have too much. We also used a lot of diagrams. And here are two examples. The left one is best practices for AD Sync for resources and use, security groups. And the one on the right is a diagram that came from the Q system chapter. The administrator guide also has a lot of useful appendices. We have an appendix that has a lot of the a description of a lot of the Project Server 2013 Windows PowerShell commandlets. And we also have a lot of appendices regarding security permissions, what default permissions are for different groups. And again, why I like this is because this came into being because of you all. And you can download the Word version of this from this link here. And just to reiterate, how does this help you? You could use it to as a reference where you could quickly look up questions, find the answers to. And actually, when talking about the forums, I've heard customers say, well, I've looked up, I found the answer to my question in the admin guide. I needed to ask a little more about it. I used it in conjunction with the forums. I asked something on the forum, and it saved me the cost of a support call. And another thing that I mentioned was you can customize this and use this for your own internal training, so it will help you to reduce costs there as well as help user adoption.
All right, so last tool that we're going to talk about is the team member guide. And copies of these up here, too. Our bosses decided to pay for lots of things. Aren't you lucky? So the team member guide, it is 64 pages long. It is targeted at team members, and it's downloadable from office.com in Word and PDF formats. So it starts with some really foundational information. So what we've been hearing from customers is that when they roll out PWA to team members, you know, sometimes these team members are really unfamiliar with project management terminology. They're unfamiliar with SharePoint. And so they really need documentation that's the step below what we had been doing. So we took a step back and took this first chapter to talk about things like tasks and resources and what those are, and then the different pieces of the UI, you know, where to look to do different things, how the ribbon is organized, different tips for just using the UI. The second chapter dives into timesheets, and you know, what we were hearing also was just that it was really there's a lot when you go through a rollout, there's a lot of angst. And so an example of this, I'm in a van pool, and my van pool driver, so I have about a 2-hour drive home, and so we talked about a lot of things, and one of the things he was talking to me about was when they went through a change in their organization to roll out project management in a very formal way, he started to have to turn in timesheets. And there was a lot of feeling of, how is my company using this information? You know, there was some feelings of, is this going to be used to judge my performance? Is this going to be used to go directly to payroll? You know, is this tied to hours? And that's not always the case. I mean, in some organizations, sure, that's the case. But what we focused on in this chapter is explaining why timesheets are important within project management. And, you know, that those numbers are used to help drive decisions as opposed to, you know, anything that might cause that kind of angst. So we've talked a little bit about that to kind of put team members at ease, and then explained the process and included art and screenshots and things to explain how to do this. Next chapter talks about task progress. So in this chapter, we explain what the differences are, because it's really unclear to a lot of people that there is a difference. And you know, we've kind of tried to explain the math behind it, give some procedures around how to do it. And in this chapter, we've included procedures for whether you're using single entry mode or two separate views to do this work. So one thing you could do if you downloaded the Word doc of this is customize it. So if your organization is only using single entry mode, you can take out the stuff that doesn't matter to you. So the next chapter is all about administrative time. So in this chapter, we've tried to look at it from a team member perspective, what they need to do before they're going to be on vacation or whatnot. So that includes, you know, letting your project manager know so that they can make good decisions around resource management, maybe some stuff about delegation, then while they're out and after they get back, what they need to do to get that administrative time entered properly. And then, so the next two chapters are kind of more of the troubleshooting side of it. This chapter covers, you know, what do you do if you turn something in you didn't mean to, or you know, what you need to do if you need to do a recall. And then the last chapter covers rejection. And rejection is another one of those things where there's a lot of angst. So in this chapter, we've tried to address that by talking about how to find out why something was rejected, you know, what might have caused that, and then what to do to resolve it. And again, this guide also was a direct result of customer feedback. So we worked pretty closely with a pretty large customer to understand what the real issues were with their rollout. They were in the middle of an upgrade, and they were, getting ready to push out 2013. And the one thing that they heard when they went through a 2010 upgrade was everybody freaked out after the upgrade was done because they had this new thing and it looked a little bit different. And so they wanted to have a tool that would help ease that process. And that's what led to this guide. In the works, we've got a similar guide focused on project managers, and I don't have a date to share with you about that, but it is in the works. So how does that help? Well, it eases rollout, as we just mentioned, covers the basics, addresses common concerns, and offers a friendly voice to help make people more receptive to adopting this new tool. It's customizable, so you can, again, add your branding and infrastructure. You might have different procedures, maybe EPTs that you want to encourage people to use, contact information for your admins in case they've got questions, URLs, anything like that.
Sonia, to interrupt, maybe you should let them know that this is the guy that Mike McLean also referred to earlier.
Yeah, so in the keynote today, Mike McLean was doing the demo of Project Online, and there was the Getting Started panel, and it had a link to our content. This is that content, so we'd love for you to have copies.
Oh, I'm doing the wrap up, yes. So, you know, this is partly an overview of what we do, and we tried to tie it in with what the value is for you. So we've got TechNet, MSDN, which we didn't talk about directly today, and Office.com. These are self-service portals. You and your users can go there, try and find the answers that they're looking for. Hopefully that makes it a little easier on your help desk. They can do what they need to do. That's true of all of these. The Learning Center is very much a self-paced thing. People can get in there, go through it multiple times if they have to, go backwards, go forwards, and learn the technology that way. The Quick Start Guides, handy reference, keep it on your desk. If it's common tasks that you do a lot, you know, maybe this will take care of 80 or 90% of what you couldn't quite remember how to do, and now you need to ask somebody. The Administrator's Guide, we have had a lot of asks for the printed guide, partly so that they can be repurposed within a company, and also because, you know, people do like the bound guides. You can take notes in the margin. Probably shouldn't write your password down there, but you can put other things there. And then it's there on the shelf for you. If you don't have internet connectivity, it can be very handy. And then the team member guide is something that we worked directly with a fairly large customer on fleshing out exactly what needed to be in there, how it should be presented, how users responded to it, that sort of thing. So a lot of work went into kind of making sure that was on the right gradient for people to understand, and that it felt friendly to them, and they weren't intimidated by the product, which we've heard a lot. Project can be very complicated, and then particularly end users who just need to enter a timesheet or something like that, there's still all these buttons on the ribbon, and they're afraid of pressing the wrong thing or something like that. So we tried to make it very inviting and kind of guide people carefully through the experience so that they were confident that they were doing the right thing and that they could get done what they needed to do and get on to their next task. So the other part of what we wanted to accomplish here was to talk to you guys about what we need to do more of or less of, or what your frustrations are, or what you'd like to see, or do you want more videos, or more printed content, or more bound books, and get an idea of, you know, how can we help you with your project implementations in terms of getting you the documentation you need, helping your users, problems that you see, areas that aren't covered well, anything like that. So at this point, we're going to kind of open it up, and hopefully somebody would like to jump in.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the end of it. How what syncs to project sites?
User accounts,
OED accounts? User accounts.
Ah, user accounts.
So for example, like the team member project web app synchronized.
Yeah.
That's automatically created on project sites. There's also one for project managers, project web app synchronized.
Mm-hmm.
In browsing various websites, I found like a blog post talking about that by setting the open project or save project permission, assuming you're using project server permission code, those users will actually get added to the rooms automatically in project sites.
Mm-hmm. So there's the whole synchronization of users within the realm of SharePoint, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree that's something that we haven't covered in depth, and that's really good feedback. Is that something that we need to do? Now, what version are you using?
23.
Are you in SharePoint permissions mode or project permissions mode?
Project.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's actually both of those stories that we can tell, because there's going to be, I think there's going to be a difference between modes there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, thank you. That's actually really useful. We do have some content on TechNet about that, but it sounds like we need to beef it up.
Yeah, that's an area that we can definitely do more in that, and it's great to hear that feedback, because we can add in.
Yeah.
I understand that the guides are more how-to content. It would be very helpful for particular groups that are starting off an implementation to have some of that content boiled down to some best practices.
Best practices, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's great. Would you want that in kind of a quick start format? I mean, or?
Potentially there, but yeah. I think you know, within the actual content,
okay.
You don't want to overburden it with that, because again, this is an app, this is how we do something.
Yeah, okay.
But the more preferable method, or maybe the ramifications of putting this person into this system.
Okay, that's really useful. Interesting idea.
Yeah, in the back.
Oftentimes, when you're doing documentation, you find inconsistencies or things that might work better. Do you feel like you, as a group, have connections into the product group sufficient to be able to get some feedback on product direction?
For us to provide feedback to them on product direction, is that what you're saying?
Indeed.
So we work very closely with them. We're good friends with them. So I would say, yes, we can take that feedback. And when it does come in on an article, so if you fill out the comment box at the bottom, if it is not really about the content, but it's more about the product, we do have a way to file bugs against the product and get that feedback to them. So.
Yeah. And a lot of times when we get reviews on these, a lot of times the engineering team, product group, they're actually involved in a lot of the reviews on these.
Yeah, definitely.
Too. So, yeah, we work with them a lot.
Okay.
Hey, right here.
The admin guide, do y'all provide anything with the event IDs on the server side that we can look at, for example, on how to troubleshoot particular? Because I've seen where it shows you what the issue may be, but nothing how to resolve it or any visuals or something like that.
So troubleshooting in general?
Well, just ties to an event ID.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
That be
KB? Yeah, that's so much, like, as far as troubleshooting information, we didn't go into a lot of that here, and maybe we should, so maybe that's a good piece of feedback, but a lot of the troubleshooting information, it probably would be more, it's more KB related, and a lot, especially when it tends to go towards specific issues, in our TechNet articles in general, a lot of times we kind of avoid it unless it's something that's happening a lot. Or we'll just like point to a KB article if it happens a lot, but yeah, that's.
And the reason behind that is because a lot of times that can be really distracting if that's not happening for a customer. So.
Or even on your TechNet, where we can go, not so much in a book.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's something that we need to look into, because in the core documentation we want to, in some sense, assume it works well and stick with the 80 to 90% scenario, because if we add too many details, then people can get lost when they're trying to get through the process. But at the same time, we need to point people in the right direction if they do run into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good point. And we can do a better job of linking out to knowledge-based articles and things like that, mm-hmm. so that if you do run into trouble, we can point you in the right direction.
Yeah. Good idea.
Okay. And so that's, are you talking about the ULS log in particular? Yeah. Yeah, and that's something that we've talked about, and that also, that very quickly becomes a SharePoint issue, right? Because it's, you know, we sort of ride on top of SharePoint and all that stuff is in there too. And I'll bring that up as we plan our next rollout of content, because I agree, and that comes up a lot is, the ULS log has so much stuff in it that it's really hard to navigate sometimes. There's the event viewer too, yeah.
You know, some of that might be a great resource to add as an appendix at the end of this.
I'm almost thinking it might be a good idea to have like a troubleshooting guide. I wonder if that's something we should explore, something that people could look up, you know, have a bound copy and look up in.
Yeah, I mean, troubleshooting is an area where we definitely need a better solution.
Mm-hmm. I would find it very useful to know when I, for example, delete a resource task project, what will happen with, for example, the time sheet, delete the task, what will happen with the schedule of the whole project.
Okay.
Because I had for you this attach, a user has left the company, it will be replaced with another user.
Yeah, that is definitely something that has come up with us recently. that article was actually suggested maybe just a couple weeks ago that we needed to get some content out there on that. So it's in the works. I've got a bug on my plate right now to write that. So I think that, you know, what that says to me is that we do need to have more. So, you know, we've addressed some of these angst issues for the team member. Is taking it to a different level, and what are the angst issues for an admin or for a even just a project manager, and getting that content out there. So thank you, that's very useful.
Yep. Okay, yeah. So kind of best practices and roadmap type of thing. Okay, cool. Yeah. What was that?
I could answer that one if you want. The system we have now, it's very easy for us to update them as soon as we can. I think on a weekly basis we can actually do that. But one thing we like to also do is kind of, if it's not a really important update, we like to get a collection of them so that you don't print this and then 2 months later, you know, there's another version. And the download page for this also has a listing of the changes and when they were made, so you can tell whether you need to get a new one or not.
Yeah, and so just for general knowledge, on office.com we can publish instantly,
it's the same
basically
day. It's within hours.
TechNet and MSDN we can update weekly. And for the printable stuff, like Efren said, we tend to roll up a list of things and then publish when we have a list.
Yeah, unless it's critical. And if it's critical, we could do it immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it's a constant issue with end user and PMs explaining best practice from Microsoft is because of impact to server load without pointing them to the technical document.
Yeah, okay.
So just.
Yeah, that's great. That. Thank you.
And how, when they add multiple resources, why it's impactful.
Yeah, okay. That's very useful. Thank you.
Yeah.
So in my organization, so we're kind of divided on two sides of a larger organization. And in my organization, one of the things that we're looking at right now is exactly what you're talking about, and even having kind of a badge system to it. So you can say that you've done XYZ and kind of claim some fame to that. But right now it's not rolled out. But it is something that we're looking into. It's a pretty popular topic right now. Trying to find the right way to do that across all of Office is a little bit challenging. We are within the Office organization, and we need to do things in a unified way. So it's hard for us to just say, yes, let's go and do that without, everybody being on board. But it is definitely something we're looking at.
Cool.
Anyone else?
Yeah. So yeah.
Love your content.
Thank you.
It's improved over the years. It just gets better and better. It wasn't bad to start with.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make this ODC thing?
Yeah.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's an area that we are starting to look at because it's an area that, to be honest, we haven't had a lot of in-depth coverage on. And it's, in the project server realm, it's sort of part of SharePoint. So in a sense, it's you can use any tool you want and do whatever you want, and we've kind of let it go with that. But particularly with Project Online coming up, there's a whole different audience who's starting to use it, and they really need the way to get started. And there are so many fields that you can report on that it's really hard to navigate that somehow. So, and then there's also the Power BI stuff that's been released recently, and how can you tie that in and use that with Project Server, either online or on premises? So that's an area that we're definitely looking into, trying to do more cohesive end-to-end content around, because it really, unless you're already a BI guru, it can be really hard to get started and just get some basic stuff done without getting in too deep.
And one thing to say about that is that there was supposed to be one other person here with us today, and she couldn't be here, but that's exactly the area that she is a guru in, and she has just joined our team within the last few months to get that content out there. So it's in the works. It's just not there yet.
Along with the BI stuff, another thing that's high priority for us is creating content for users that are moving from on-prem to online. Trying to find out what sort of fears you guys have, what considerations you should make. So if any of you have any feedback on what you'd like to see for that, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and advance here. So projdocs@microsoft.com will reach us as well as the MSDN writers who cover the SDK and other related things. And again, in any of these articles, there's the feedback box at the bottom. You can type something in there and we'll get that as well.
And just again to show you what you can come up and grab, the administrator's guide, the working on tasks and project web app guide, which Mike McLean referred to this morning, and the quick start guides, and I believe we have contact info for us in here as well. Mm-hmm. I like to think these are better than Legos, so
thank you. All right, feel free
thanks
to come.
Thanks a lot, folks. And again, any feedback, anytime, go ahead and send us an email or type in a comment and send it on its way.